everybody. Welcome to the RDM podcast. My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Dreams, nightmares, encounters of the night. What happens when we go to sleep? We're here to discuss the mysteries behind dreaming. With me in the studio, on my left, is Afimani Moneybags McLean. Afimani, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
On my right is Prophet Ben Ali. He's a prophet who operates primarily in dreams, right?
Sure.
Yes, and he's going to tell us some very interesting encounters. Okay. Then to the far left is Calvin Tinker, the master dreamer of dreams.
Happy to be here.
Calvin has a primarily a gift in dreaming, and he has had a lot of encounters in the spirit. And I thought that having them here would enrich the discussion. So, gentlemen, we're going into dreams, and we know that this topic is quite wide. We know that there are a lot of things, nitty-gritties, that need to be touched inside of it. So we're going to try our very best to touch as much as possible so that a person listening in might be able to grab something they can run with. So we're going to talk about... So I'm going to ask the first question as we go deeper. Is there a difference between dreams and visions?
Yeah, sure. There is. From my perspective, just to simplify for any other person, a vision is more vivid than a dream.
Okay.
A vision is more of you being in the movie, while the dream is more of you watching the movie.
Okay.
That's how I would simplify it for any other person.
Okay. What about you? Do you have any other definition for that?
Yeah. I think if you look at Numbers chapter 12, verse, I think 6, when God calls upon Aaron and I think, what's the lady?
Miriam.
Miriam, yeah. And he tells them that I make myself known to you in a vision.
Yes.
And then I speak to you in dreams. Already that's a distinction.
Between visions and dreams, yes.
Yeah. So visions, they are more profound, more vivid, just like what he said. But dreams, it's just maybe like a lower level. You know, God is speaking to you.
Think everyone dreams, McLean?
Yeah, I think everyone dreams.
There are people out there who constantly say that for me, dreaming is not my thing. When I wake up, I forget everything. Or I don't think I dreamt at all. There's just blackness.
No, everybody dreams. I believe everybody dreams. It's just like you're saying, most people forget their dreams the moment they wake up. But everybody dreams.
I noticed something. I was looking back through experience, and a lot of history has been shaped by dreams, biblically, but also through the natural history can shape. So Michael Jackson, for example, used to get a lot of his songs from the dream world.
Eh? Yes.
There's this guy from the Beatles. What's his name?
John Lennon.
John Lennon. Yes. Used to have also get a lot of his songs from dreams.
True.
There are people throughout history who have said that they've had encounters through dreams, and those dreams have allowed them to manifest something supernatural, something into the physical. Mm-hmm. So that means we can't just take dreams for granted, okay?
True.
So that means when we go to sleep at night, there's a lot of instruction that is given to men that a lot of people do not take seriously. Now, we know that there are different types of dreams. For the person out there who might be asking the question, what types of dreams are there?
Obviously, there are spiritual dreams.
Okay, so describe to us a spiritual dream.
A spiritual dream is, I think, we all know that everything comes from God.
Right.
And there is a purpose to us being able to dream. Actually, you realize that for us being able to dream is actually an opportunity that God gave us where we can interact with Him without a lot of effort trying to make that happen. Mm. So spiritual dreams, it has something to do with God.
Okay.
Probably answering you or telling you something or teaching you something or instructing you, something like that.
But I'm sure are there spiritual dreams that the devil can send?
Yes. But we know that the devil will always try to mimic God for him to fulfill his agenda.
Okay.
You notice that if there's something happening, like you just look at the customs of how we deal with God, you realize that on the dark side, even the devil does the same. So it's the same thing with dreams. But the thing about dreams is that in dreams, it's much more, how can I say, it's much more easier for you to have an impact on man, right? That's the thing about dreams. It's much more easier.
What do you mean, to have an impact on man?
You know that God can actually, this is a place that God set up for where he can actually communicate with man, seal instruction, or something like that. So now just imagine if the devil comes in and portrays himself as an angel of light, trying to definitely confuse you so that he can actually give you something that you may take to be from God. Mm. You get it? I mean, why wouldn't he take that opportunity? Mm. So it's something like that. But to me, spiritual dreams, it's whereby you have an encounter with a spiritual being, mm. right? Because it can be an angel speaking to you in a dream. Yeah.
Okay. What about, we're going to come back to spiritual dreams because that's our focus today.
Yeah.
What other type of dreams are there?
The soulish dreams.
What are soulish dreams though?
They basically come out of the desire of a man's heart. They're more physical.
Okay, so give me an example.
Let's say, the best example I can give. A guy loves a girl and constantly thinks about this girl. It's very possible that most of his dreams are going to be about the girl.
Okay.
Not because God has said this is the girl, but because the guy has just been thinking about him. The desire.
So most of these guys who come telling girls that I dreamt about you and the Lord said that you're the one.
You never know.
Some of them can be soulish dreams. Yeah?
I'm telling you.
They were their own lords.
I'm telling you.
Is there any other category of dreams?
To still talk about soulish dreams, they're actually backed up by scripture. I think it is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. So the one thing I noticed about soulish dreams, it's all about the soul. So even if I sit down and probably watch a full season of a certain series, and I see something interesting that I really, really like, it resonates with me, then there is a higher possibility of me dreaming about it and I actually have it. You get it? Something like that.
Yeah.
Is there another category?
Yeah. Lucid dreams.
Okay. Yeah. Go on.
So you have lucid dreams. Lucid dreams are dreams where in the dream state you have consciousness.
So you're awake.
Yes, you are dreaming, but you're alert. You are aware that you are dreaming. So that's a lucid dream. And I believe that's one of the most powerful forms of dreaming.
Yeah. But is there something you have to do to have a lucid dream?
Yes, okay. You can induce them.
So lucid dreams can be induced. In other words, you can go to sleep and be awake in your dream.
Correct.
And what's the purpose of that, you think?
To me, I think it's a sign of growth in terms of dreams because, you see, the beauty about dreams is that when you have a dream and you decide to like dwell on it, it's very possible for you to build a certain kind of a meditation on it so that you can be able to manifest it in the physical. Yeah, it actually aids you in envisioning. You get it? So lucid dreaming, very powerful.
But you know as well, it gives us the chance of creation because it's possible to create things in the dream world, then they manifest.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's another advantage of the lucid dream. It helps create things here from the spirit.
Have any of you ever had a lucid dream?
Not sure, but I'm working on it.
You're working on it?
I think I've had
one. You've had one? What happened?
Yeah. So it's actually for this one, I wanted to be conscious, right? So I had that kind of mindset that I really want to be awake in this dream. So I slept, right? And then while in the dream, I realized that I was actually dreaming. You get it? So when I reached that point, I decided to take control because normally dreams, it's a movie that's being directed by someone else. But this time I took control and even started to ask questions. Where is this? Where is this? Yeah. The question I asked actually, let me say it. I asked, who is my wife? Yes, I'm single, I'm not yet married, but I asked was my wife. And then the lady pointed to a certain lady that was there. When I went to the lady, I saw that this was actually an in of mine. But then she turned and then she gave me three babies, right? So I held the babies and I looked at them. And then she looked at me and she was like, they're yours, right?
I hope she's not watching.
No. So that was my actually first opportunity to take control. You get it? Because most of the time, you do not even get that opportunity to search out something in a dream. Most of the time, you're being led. Right? Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So, I want to, because we brought you here because both you guys have had primarily dreamers. Now, I need you to understand, if you're watching us, that I've noticed that the Bible refers to in Deuteronomy 13 what I refer to as dreamers of dreams. And the scripture equates them to prophets. It said, if there be a prophet among you or a dreamer of dreams. So there's a category of people called dreamer of dreams. there are people, everyone, most largely everyone dreams, but there's a category called dreamer of dreams that are equated to prophets. There are people born on this earth who I believe are gifted with that element of dreaming. Okay? And God will speak to them primarily through that avenue. God largely, according to Job 33:14 onwards, largely speaks to men in dreams. But these guys, it's what distinguishes them from other people is that, number one, most of them have an ability to remember their dreams much easier than
the rest
of the people. That's one. Number two, their dreams always play out, or most of the time, they will play out in the near future. And number three, when a person is a dreamer of dreams, the idea is not just for them to dream, but to be an interpreter of what they're dreaming. So we can grow, and all of us, by the way, can grow from one level where the dreams that we have are the chapatis we ate last night. Then we move on to a majority of spiritual dreams, because spiritual dreams are usually very sporadic, come once in a while.
Yeah.
Then they begin to increase, and there are ways to create atmospheres for that. We shall get to that. Then lastly, is the aim of God is for you to be an interpreter. You have something to add to that?
Yeah, sure. No, I realized, as you've said, it's one thing to have that dream, then it's another to wake up in the morning and say, okay, now this is what it means. But I realized many people have the dream, in the morning, wake up, they're more focused on man. I think I just need to go to work and leave the fact that I need to first get this dream, know what it means. It must have been an instruction from God or something. But it's one thing to get the dream, it's another to know what it means.
Okay, so now I want to touch something. You're going to give us some of your encounters that you've had, both of you. And if you have one, McLean, you'll also add into it. And I want to see the powerful element that is behind dreaming and why God uses it as an avenue. Feel free.
Interesting. Just one of the dreams I've had that has played out. It must be a few months back. I had a dream. Now we know that there's the Russia-Ukraine war. I had a dream of Russia having a problem with the U.S., and then this resulted into the Ukraine war. It's out there. So in this dream, first of all, this dream, it didn't seem like it. If I will tell you, it didn't seem like it has something to do with the war. But it's one of those dreams I've had that has played out now that the Russia-Ukraine war.
Is this something that happens to only a prophet or it? Because it seems to me like you're going to tell us many more of your encounters, but it seems to me like this happens to you a lot. God speaks to you primarily through dreams. But your dreams are not just dreams. They are not just, because let me tell you, they are spiritual dreams, yes. But then they are prophetic dreams. Not all spiritual dreams are prophetic.
True.
Right? So your dreams seem to be very prophetic in nature. In other words, they tell the future. Go ahead.
No, but just even touch on that. It's not, a lot of it happens to me because I've been called to be a prophet.
Yeah, to be called. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're most powerful when you're sleeping.
Touch me.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but so it's one of those dreams that has really played out. Other than that, a few months back, there was a discovery in Russia. The discovery was named, according to the media, the tunnel to hell has been found. That was the discovery. So in my dream, I had a dream. I woke up, and when I put it out, it's the same word I used, the tunnel to hell has been found. Months later, it's the same thing the media. So one thing I realized is, as I said, it's good to have these dreams, but it's another to get what this particular dream means, because it's possible for you to get that dream and you have your own interpretation and you miss out on what the Lord is doing.
Okay. Calvin.
Yeah. For me, I'll go all the way before COVID, I remember, because I think the lockdowns were put in place, I think, in media, right? Yeah, so I had a dream in February, I remember. In that dream, I was at home, and then I moved out, and I saw a group of people moving, so I joined them, yeah. And while I was there, I saw a huge mountain, and then I saw the sun. Now, dreams, normally dreams happen in the night, and it's just a few hours or minutes or something like that. But in that dream, it felt like the sun wasn't moving at all. It was just there. Get it? Time was passing by, but the sun was just there. So eventually when I woke up, I tried to understand what actually this meant. At first I thought, was this something to do with stagnation or something like that? But eventually I realized that it actually meant lockdown, right? That, you know, things won't be moving. Like you guys will be like in one place for a while.
Oh, that's very, very interesting. Yeah.
So you knew about COVID before it happened. You didn't give us the heads up, man.
I think what he did is that he didn't interpret it. Yeah? Maki,
yeah.
You have questions about specific encounters.
Not questions, but I have, because as they were speaking, I was trying to remember one good dream that resulted into something that I could share, you know, as an experience. And this was a spiritual dream. And the thing that I've noticed about spiritual dreams is they have a vividness to them that even when you wake up, you will still feel it. You'll still have the effect. You'll feel like something. I was somewhere. This felt so real. You know, so they have that vividness to them. So this dream was long, but I'll just go to the part where I had to apply a physical thing, okay, to give it value as the dream. So in the dream at some point, it seemed like my car, the engine was literally shaking. Now, I said it's a long dream, but in that dream, there was a relative of mine who was trying to craft their own things, you know, through dark powers. So in the end, it was meant to affect my car engine, literally meaning the car would have an accident. But in the dream, it felt so real. This was as close to a lucid dream that I could get. It felt so real that I felt this was what was happening, and the Lord led me to lay my hands on the bonnet and pray over the car. And then he left an instruction for me. It was just like a thought. He left an instruction, but it was so vivid that in the morning, I would place, like literally, I would mark my car with my name. That as long as my name was on it, there would be no harm that would come to it. So the next morning, I remember I woke up, and if you guys have seen my car, you will find on the bonnet, on the sides, I have my name, you know, stuck on the car. That's where that came from. And kid you not, that very day, I had three situations where it was this close to being an accident, and you could feel that this was supposed to be something else. But there is just a power, there is just a force that's stopping it from going to the extreme. Three different occurrences. One was with a border guy, another one with a truck, then the last one with another car, still just the same morning. So then it was very clear that this was an instruction from God. And had I not heeded to it, the results would have been different.
But do you think that do you think that when a person dreams, these dreams are actually taking place in another realm, or they're just images? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I get it.
Because images means they're not real. It's just that someone is just showing you something. Which is it? I don't know.
They're taking place. They're taking place because I feel like I have to share another dream.
Oh, feel free.
Mm-hmm. I remember you actually prophesied to me that the Lord, the angel, will actually lead me to my future wife, right? So, a number of years back, I had actually a dream. I was in the same fellowship. You were there, and he said that there's an angel of the Lord here. So we all turned around trying to figure out, and you know, and then all of a sudden you came and sat with us. Yeah. And then all of a sudden an angel appeared, and this angel had a staff. That staff symbolized
authority.
So, now this angel came to me, picked me up, and then took me to the far side, and then put me there, and then the angel told me, now that's your wife, right? Then after that, the angel did to everyone in the room. Everyone in the room. Now, when I received that dream, I remember I actually told you about it. Obviously, you smiled. And he asked me, do you know the person? I said, I don't know the person. Now, years later, when you actually came to prophesy me, I was actually in the same position where I was seated, behind. So these dreams, they happen in another another realm. Mm. Now, for me, I believe that at that point, I was actually having a spiritual experience of the future.
Nice.
As we're still on that, so is it that as they're happening in another realm, can we assume that the other realm is moving faster than the physical realm? Because even in the experience I shared, it seemed like something that was ahead, and it's not something in the past.
It's an eternal realm. Because it's an eternal realm, mm-hmm. you're the one in the time, in the realm of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be behind something that is already set. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. in that realm, everything is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything is finished, you only see glimpses of those finished things at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Often I think to myself, imagine if someone could go into the dream world and, like how we see timelines, be able to walk their timeline and see beginning to end. I think all things are possible. But there are different kinds of people. I've already said it, that there are two kinds of people who dream a lot. People with whose sight is very powerful. They're people with powerful minds. When a person has a powerful mind, they're born with it. They remember a lot. Eh? When they go to sleep, their visions are extremely powerful, and powerful in the element that they are very spiritual. They're gifted. Then there are people with innocent minds, children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Children can see in the spirit much easier than other people. Now, when you have a very powerful mind, that power enables you to go deeper into certain things in the spirit than a natural person who has not harnessed that power can. So even the amount of time, first of all, it affects memory. When you come back from sleep, I believe the strength of a man's spirit can determine what he retains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But also how far he can go in his dream.
Yeah.
Eh? Because mm-hmm. dreams do have levels. You've watched Inception?
Yeah. I love that.
You watch Inception, right?
I've watched part of it.
A part of it. So in that dream, you can go into a dream, into a dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that level is not something that someone can just do.
Yeah.
Unless the spirit of the Lord just grabs you and takes you. But there are people who have stronger
minds
and abilities. Now, before I come to you, I want to emphasize that it's one thing to have a spiritual dream. It's another thing, because most of these spiritual dreams are happening involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
You have not decided, let me have a spiritual dream.
Mm-hmm.
There is a level where a man can say, tonight I'm going to dream about this.
Okay.
Mm.
Eh?
Yeah.
And it happens. Now, this is different, because even you can have a lucid dream involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Yes.
It's not your permission. You just found yourself there, and you remember in the dream that you actually... But it's another thing for a person to say, I'm going to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm asleep, I'm going to change the office chair, write a letter to that girl. What? And it plays out in the physical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you ever had anything like that?
Yes, I have.
So you can decide. You've decided what you're going to do.
Yeah, but not on my... Two or three days ago, I have a friend who shared with me, I'm going to paint my house. Why don't you share with me ideas? So the paint this person... It's not my house, by the way. It's their house. Just to know. The paint this guy wants to put in his house, I said, man, if you put this one, I'm not sure who will visit you. Eh? Because these things just look like, man, some witch doctor or something.
Mm.
So I decided that... I thought about it that evening. I think, why don't we have a white and a gray, something like that? So later on in the night, it was not of my will, but later on in the night, I have a dream. I'm talking to one. I'm telling her, do this in your house. I wake up in the morning. It's the message she sends me. I've decided I'm going to use this kind of paint in my house. This is it. The same things I told in the dream. So I believe that which I had in the night is what changed her mind to make sure this is the thing she does in her house.
Man, that's interesting. That's interesting. But you didn't do anything in the dream. Did you talk to her in the dream?
I talked to her. I said, do this. But I didn't intend that this is the night I am going to dream about this thing. All I said in the evening, man,
in but that's still a lucid.
That's very interesting because you remember I asked you about dream hacking. So for me, my question is, in that case, were you the one who went into her dream world or she came to your dream world?
No, because she wasn't dreaming. Mm-hmm. You understand? She wasn't. We're going to go into dream hacking because I think let's go into that. That's interesting. Because what he's saying is he dreamt, somehow influenced her, and she ended up conforming to what he had told her in the dream, but in the physical. Okay?
Okay.
Dream hacking for me would be if you're dreaming and I come into your dream.
Through a dream.
Through a dream.
You also dream.
Intentionally. And affect your decision. And you wake up and like, Rabbi, I had a dream and you're telling me to put on a red dress. And meanwhile, this side.
Okay, we can't use that example. if you're using me as
okay. Okay. To put on what? White shoes. Eh?
Okay.
Eh? So what happens is that if, and on this side, I could have intentionally, it can also happen involuntarily, but I could have intentionally gone to sleep and say, I'm going to affect what this person is doing. You know what is even strange? Mm. One time, the man of God, Prophet Elvis, gave an example of when he had a dream pulling a lady from hell. And it was, and on in the physical, it's okay, so he's pulling this lady who was falling down a tunnel. Yeah? And he left the dream halfway because people would be flabbergasted. Yeah? But he said he's saving. And he's saying this is something that was actually happening. But in his dream world, he was actually saving someone from plummeting down. Now, before people start telling me, what, is he Jesus? Is he all this stuff? Some dreams are initiated by... But I believe that there are people we all have saved. In our dreams, sometimes people we don't know, and it has played out without our knowledge.
Very true. Possible.
And we think it was just
a dream.
A dream.
Yeah, true.
And these things mess me up because I believe the ancients used to say that when you go to sleep, you go to another world.
True.
You go to the dream. You don't dream it.
Yes.
You go there. It is a window into a world that can manipulate this in. It's a universe and so on and so forth. So I believe God uses it as a very major avenue because men, the Bible says in Job 33, God speaks once, twice, but men do not perceive it. So when you don't perceive, God uses that avenue. But my view is, unless, biblically, unless you're a dreamer of dreams, and even then, it's of my view that the lowest place, level of which God can communicate to you is dreams. It's the lowest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree.
True. Yes, yes.
Eh? Because from then on, things become straightforward, clearer. God can speak to you in a voice. He can speak to you through an angel encounter. Okay? So if a person, and I said with the exception of dreamers of dreams, because it seems to be an actual avenue, but even them, there's a... The place where the Lord expects you to perceive what He's saying in the moment without having gone.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you had something to add?
Yeah, because you see, at the end of the day, with when it comes to dreaming at night, okay, your consciousness in the physical realm is shut down. Okay. So it's easy for your spirit to transition or to communicate with the spirit world. And because now here everything about you is relaxed, your mind is not thinking about whatever and everything, you're so relaxed, that's why God can easily come in. Because at that point now, it's not your will. It's not that you've intentionally said, okay, let me position myself to be able to tap from the spirit world to be able to get messages. This one, because God designed it that way, naturally you'll just go to sleep and then He'll come and communicate. That's why He's saying at the end of the day, that's the lowest. The highest would be when you intentionally, even as we're seated here, can just say, you know what, I'll be talking to you guys, but I can still switch and tap in from this other side. So gotcha. I agree with that.
How would someone grow in the area of dreams?
First of all, their perspective of dreams has to change. They need to believe in them. Because you see, the thing about dreams is that you can have a dream, and then when you come back, it's silly. Let me just use that word. it doesn't make sense, because the dream world obviously doesn't follow the laws of this world, right? Yeah. So it comes from the place of belief. You need to believe in these dreams. So if you take that step, the next step will be now you begin to take note, because you cannot take note something that you don't believe in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll just give an example. I tried to manifest soulish dreams. Yeah, and it was actually a challenging experience, but it was worth it. Because
Wait. You tried to intentionally manifest a soulish dream. And yes. Remember what our definition of a soulish dream was?
Mm-hmm.
It's you've gone out through of, something yeah. during the day and okay.
Yeah.
Okay, huh? Yeah.
And so when I went through the process, okay, I wrote it down, and then obviously, I definitely involved the Holy Spirit, because I can't do this alone. I really wanted to grow in this. And so when I did the necessary steps of writing it down and envisioning it and all, get it? It actually happened. Because according to the dream, on a certain particular day, an event was going to happen, right? Yeah. So I marked that day and waited for it. I believed in it. But interestingly, on that day, when it happened, that event happened to someone else. Not the one that I was actually looking at. But obviously, I found out the reason why. The reason why is because I did not put in the effort in terms of envisioning. Get it? It was a bit lackluster.
Envisioning, visualization.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just like there are strong thoughts, there are strong dreams. Just like there are weak thoughts.
Yeah? Weak dreams.
There are weak dreams. Yeah? And it's of my view that when a person learns, I mean, I just feel we just have this weapon that we don't use. Eh?
Yeah.
Because if a person learns, just use the avenue of dreams. Eh?
Come
on. There's something different about you. I want you to imagine you're alone in a church. Oh, you're with some other people, but you're just visiting the church. Some random stranger guy walks up to you and says, there's something different about you. And you're like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And so she thinks that, you know, the guy is trying to make a move on her. So she moves away. The man comes back after about like 30, 40 minutes and says, no, seriously, there's something different about you. So this lady, I didn't understand what this guy was about. So she started talking to him, trying to get to know him and all that stuff. He seemed like a normal guy. Then in the middle of the statement of the discussion, he says, why can't I read your mind?
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Then she's like, huh? And he says, I can read everyone's mind in here, including the pastor, but I can't read yours. Now, she told me, Rabbi, I just thought this guy has some weird vibe. You understand? But you know, the guy was serious, as in. So anyway, she keeps in touch with him. Become friends, but not friends. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So one night, he calls in the middle of the night. And she's like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? So he calls, then he says, please remove the lion. And she's like, remove the lion? What is this guy talking about? Then he says, I'm trying to get into your mind, but there's a lion at your gate. Remove the lion. I said, Rabbi, I just switched off the phone. I said, this guy... he has a problem. It's at that time when she came to me, I said, do you know who you are dealing with? This is a person who really knows. He has some knowledge on spiritual crafting and so on and so forth.
Yep.
And so these people are around, they control a lot of people there.
Yes.
I know guys that have gone around, they try to get into ladies' minds so that they can sleep with them.
Yeah.
And if first of all, yes, you're born again Christian, but the Bible says whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, it says meditate upon these things. There's something about what you meditate on that kind of produces
a hedge
around your mind that protects you from the enemy's entry.
Yeah, because the Bible says, as they slumbered, as they slept in the night, the enemy came and he sowed bad seed. Now you need to ask yourself, which bad seed is that was being sown when you were sleeping at night? The only other fertile ground that you have at night, where you don't have a lot of control, is your mind. And this is the thing people don't understand. If people were to pay attention, the times when you've had maybe a nightmare, or like the nightmare, because I'm trying to focus on the enemy's part, okay? Most times people will experience nightmares between the hours of 2 a.m. to 3:30 or 4 a.m. And there's a reason why. Because even scientifically, around that time, 3 a.m., you're the weakest. Your body is the weakest. You cannot control anything. And if you're not someone who is spiritually alert and awake, that also translates to your consciousness, even to your spirit man, that you cannot control much. So at that point, anyone can just come in and plant.
Is there a reason for that? Is there a reason why it's around that time?
Apart from it being a mysterious hour, because that's a prayer gate.
I want to know why the body is the weakest. I would like to know. Because we know that during those gates, midnight to around, what, 3?
Yes.
That there's a lot of spiritual activity.
Yes.
Yeah. And spirits understand the importance of timings. Mm-hmm. More than human beings. We just think timing is about keeping time. Mm. But spirits understood, that's just like I've taught before, that numbers have spiritual importances.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah? To you, the number 7, you know, I love it. 7, they think 7 is just a number of perfection.
Mm.
But I've said before, someone can use the number 7 to attack you, just the number.
Mm.
Or to bless you, just the number 7. Because it has an inherent power, just like colors have. Yeah, power. Mm. So even the timings themselves are very specific and very, very, very important. Is there a reason why someone would have specific, would be weak at around midnight to 3?
Apart from, this is my own perspective. It has nothing to do with any. I think the reason... and we've shared this with him before. I think the reason that particular hour is where your body is weak and all that. You know, there's certain things I believe in the spirit that it's only the serious people get it. Huh? If you put in some energies when you get it. So I believe that hour is, since the hour of mysteries, your body is weak. So it's only the few. That's the hour the important things of the spirit are kept in. So only the serious ones can wake up to get it. So I believe the reason your body is weakest is because it's a very powerful hour and the spirit where mysteries are kept. So it's only for a few who can pick it.
What about... Yes, you have something to add to that.
No, I just wanted to ask. So do you mean that because of that hour being a special hour, mm-hmm. whereby the spiritual realm is very, very like profound,
mm-hmm.
that it affects our physical bodies?
Yes, I want to believe so.
True.
I want to believe so. I want to believe, like we're saying, it's just like sleep. You don't think, okay, I want to sleep. And no, God just fine-tuned your body automatically so that at some point, and that point is usually around nighttime, that you'll feel like you need to sleep. And then he puts you to sleep, the same way he put Adam to sleep, and then to deep sleep, so that he will come and do something. So at the end of the day, you will move from your light sleep to the deep sleep. And once you're in the deep sleep, that is where now God would come in to interact with you. That would, I believe that, was the ideal purpose. The only thing is, most men don't understand that. They don't know that there is a purpose to deep sleep. It's not just for your whole body to rest and relax and whatsoever. It's supposed to be an angle of a channel of communication with the spirit of God, only that men are not aware.
So is that the hour where Eve was made? Because I remember that.
Most likely. Yeah, we're presuming here because the Bible doesn't say it, but most likely because Adam was put to a deep sleep. Eh?
Yeah.
But I also believe the intention of sleep is so that we could be awake 24/7. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So dreaming is being awake in sleep mode.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be awake 24/7 because ideally, for the body's case, you're the weakest in your life. You're the weakest when you're asleep because anyone can come.
Mm-hmm.
Mm? And you're protected by God. And I'm not just talking about physical, even spiritual.
Yeah.
You've heard of sleep paralysis. The world calls it.
Yes.
Yes.
Sleep paralysis. And there is no one I know who hasn't had a sleep paralysis situation.
Yeah.
You guys have had?
Yeah, I have.
So did something just come on top of you? Or sometimes some people it chokes them. Some other people it enters them. What was your experience?
I've had weird ones, man. Scary ones, actually.
Recently?
No, not recently. That was around 2017, clocking 2018. And I know those were attacks from the enemy. That at some point, you would feel like you're suffocating. And you could feel there is a thing that's sitting on you, trying to just, suffocate you and you can't breathe. And we thank God because our spirits are awake even in our sleep. Okay, it's just like he said, the amount of energy or the strength of your spirit man will now dictate how you respond. But
yes,
thank God in that state, my spirit man would always be alert to know this is when now we say the name of Jesus. At one point, I actually, instead of calling Jesus, my spirit called Angel Michael. And he showed up. Because at that, and then that's when I realized, man, there are levels.
So you know how Angel Michael looks like?
I don't know. I just saw a warrior. I just saw a warrior angel with a sword, and it felt like he was the only one, who the right person actually to deal with that.
But my question is, why do? Because the people, you see, most of us, I'm sure, have had. If you've had a sleep paralysis, it's sporadic.
Yeah.
But there are people I know. There's a guy I met. He was constantly, every time he went to sleep at night, he was having, let's not call it sleep paralysis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the attack of the enemy.
Yeah.
Some just spirit is just, but every night, he used to fear going to sleep. And he said he would be in the bed and he would feel a breeze. Then everything kind of comes to a halt. It's like, it's almost all
a
time
freeze.
Stops. Eh?
Yeah.
Time stops. And he said he was stuck. Have you watched, if you've watched, Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Batman? Is it Batman versus Superman where Superman fights all the
yes.
all the heroes? Eh?
Yes.
And
when they tried first resurrect him, then
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Flash tries to speed past Superman, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And Superman just turns his eyes and can see. Eh? Yeah? You understand? He said this was that exact experience. So he's in bed, and he turns his eye. He can't move, but he sees that being coming slowly towards him. And it happened every single night. And it would get on top of him, laugh, and begin to strangle him.
Oh.
And his brother would be sleeping right next to him. And try to scream.
Yeah, you can't.
And nothing. And every single night that was happening to him. What would be the cause of something like that?
I think the cause... I think it has probably something to do with him, first of all. Maybe there is something that he's involved in that is actually allowing, you see, the enemy to actually, you know, because most of the time, the attacks that we have, we are the ones who actually allow the enemy to come in.
Really? How?
I think there's a scripture, I've actually forgotten it, whereby, you see, most of the time, actually, even to do with position. You know, it's actually your consent for you to be actually be possessed, right?
Right.
Yeah. So either way, you're the one, you have a hedge around you, right? And if you get involved, like in certain activities or certain actions, you can easily...
They open doors.
Yeah, you open the doors, right? So maybe that's just one of the reasons. The other, someone probably sent that.
Yeah. It's actually possible, yeah?
I'd be interested in knowing why he didn't consider praying about it. Because in my case, I had that for quite some time. I actually told them, it got to a point, I had it so many times that I also got to a point where I started to fear going to sleep. It had become that bad that I knew the moment I'd close my eyes, something was bound to happen. And part of that was because of the 1, 2, 3 times that it happened, I started to build a consciousness
towards
it happening.
Yeah.
And indirectly, what I didn't know was I was attracting it. Okay, I was opening that door, that window for it. But once I realized that, look, I can't continue like this, we came home and we prayed about it. And it was just a matter of days, weeks after that, it stopped.
That might be your experience, but I've seen people who pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and nothing happened. Like this guy prayed. And that's why eventually he came to me. And I realized that some things need you, and many Christians are in this state, like we talked about. It needs you to strengthen your spirit man. And there's a difference between praying for intimacy, praying with knowledge, and just praying because you want something answered. All those are different, and they release different energies in the spirit. We'll talk about that some other time. But I felt like, I remember when I had a chat with him, I told him, first of all, I'm going to encourage you, develop the art of praying in tongues. The Bible says building yourself up in the Holy Ghost. Okay, now Once he did that, over time this thing started fading until it stopped coming altogether. I have discovered, I'll give you my experience that I had. The last time I ever had this thing, this was 2017. Last time, it ain't coming back. I was home alone. Actually, let me tell you the time before that. I was home alone, and this thing, it was just a powerful experience. I'm sleeping in my room, alone, my bed, and it's the middle of the night, and the door, which was closed, opens wide, not just slowly, like bah, and I see this spirit coming in and coming on top of me, and I could feel it. Many of you know, I could feel it, literally trying to get inside of me. And at that time, I shouted out Jesus, like most of you did, but in my heart, when I shouted out Jesus, this thing lifted but stood in front of me. And I could see it. Then a spirit, an angel, appeared. I will never forget that day. A fiery being. Up to this day, I believe it's like a seraphim or something. Even when I talk about it, I can still see the image of that being. Fiery being came and sliced that thing. And I think just disappeared. I don't know if it died. I don't know. I don't know. But it just disappeared. Then I turned and I said, "You're a seraphim." I turned to
the angel.
The angel. And just looked at me, smiled, and disappeared. Now, yes, go ahead.
No, but these, what people call the sleep, whatever, that attack, it's very interesting. From my own, before I got born again, I used to have them very, like, every single day. But I realized one of the reasons these things come, when you have something on you, man, they'll always come for you.
When you have something on you, prophetic,
and something strong. So the only way you're going to let them go is by you growing, as you've said. You have to grow your spirit, man. Because I had these things before I got born again. I got born again, then they came again, that guy showed up, man. Okay, by this time, I just told him, man, you're wasting your time. He didn't really do anything. But I realized it's because my spirit man had grown. It couldn't do anything. It had no effect on me now. But the only thing is, many times Christians be crying, okay, man, this attack, but they're not doing anything. Certain things you don't even need to just go and pray for from somebody. You need to pray for yourself.
Let me give you an example. My young brother, he's not a believer, had an experience that up to this day, he cannot explain. He wasn't alone. My two young brothers, had the experience at the same time, the same place, in different rooms, while all at home. At around 2-3 a.m., and they're going to kill me for giving this thing, but around 2-3 a.m., both of them started screaming. Now, my young brother was in another room. This one, my youngest brother was in another room. The younger one was. So they started screaming at the same time. Like, what's going on? Then they wake up, you know, run, and you're like, man, what's up? The guy says, I was sleeping in my bed, and suddenly I couldn't move. And two beings started having a conversation right in front of me. I couldn't see. He said I couldn't see them, but I could hear them as clearly as you can hear a person speaking audibly. And they were saying, let's take him. And the other one said, no, not yet. It's not yet time. I said, no, let's take him now. And my brother said, I couldn't move. I was like, what? This must be some joke.
I am going right now, you know.
This must be someone playing a joke on me. Daniel, this is someone, maybe you're out there, you're playing a joke on me. And he said their voices were, man, he felt a dark thing. Yeah?
Yes.
Then he said, then when they were talking, finally, the one who wanted to take him won the conversation. And he said, let's take him. So he said, they held onto his feet and began to pull. And his experience was, he felt himself
leaving his body,
and he felt his head was here, the chest. I don't know if you're
wow. Yeah.
So in other words, his spirit was being
pulling the spirit rather.
So he said, and I could feel this. My brother doesn't know spiritual things. I want you to understand that.
Yeah.
So he said, I could feel my head in my chest. So these guys were dragging me out. Then he said, while he was there freaking out, a voice inside of him said, "You're not taking me anywhere in his name." Huh? Because my brother is not a believer. Eh?
Yes.
So he said, "In his name." So he said, and so he was like, "Now where is this voice coming from?" Eh? But this, he was going. So the voice said again, "Say it again, quickly." So he said it. Eh? And the moment he said it, he felt his head go back
to the position.
So he just started screaming and he woke up. Meanwhile, my other brother, the other side, was having the exact experience. Up to this day, they said, "That's one thing we can't explain. We just know there's some strange things out there." But it for me, it tells me a lot about how salvation can protect us. Because for most born-again Christians, these things just come and jump on you and what. But for someone to take you and to be taking you, that's another thing altogether. And this is why I say people have died in their sleep.
Yeah, and they didn't know. Wow. That's like something from a movie script.
People have died in their sleep without, and many people don't know. They just think guys are dying. Their sleep paralysis has taken some people. I believe it without a shadow of a doubt. But 99% of them are non-believers.
Yeah.
Because there's a hedge that you have over you as a believer. And that's what these spirits want to do whenever they jump on you. They want to take you. And you will notice that if you track experiences that you've had, most of those experiences, those demonic experiences, are linked to certain stages of growth in your life. So whenever you
hit a new level,
a new devil,
shows up.
Yeah.
You guys have something to add to that.
Does this new level also connect to how you respond? Because maybe the first time you're just there frozen, you can't do anything about it. But probably the next time, you're actually more active. You know,
you're trying to fight, yeah.
Yeah, you can even stand up to them and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Get out."
Yeah, sure, I believe it does. I believe it does. The way you respond.
There's a warfare that happens in dreams. Yes, like there's, you know, it falls within the category of the battlefield of the mind. Mm-hmm. You know, when people talk about the battlefield of the mind, they only talk about conscious
thoughts.
Thoughts. But there is the unconscious realm where a man is fast asleep and battles are taking place. I remember one time, and this is not a dream, but it's something interesting. One time, a man had been seriously insisting, telling God, "I want to have an out-of-body experience. I want to get out of my body and see things." So one time he attends a fellowship of a prophetess and she picks him out and says, "The Lord says you want an out-of-body experience. Tonight, by 9 p.m., you will have it." And remember, people clapped that day. Wow!
Okay.
So homeboy goes home.
Wait for it.
Now, please, I'm not denouncing out-of-body experiences. I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for. Eh? Mm. So homeboy goes and goes to sleep excited. Goes to sleep early.
It's like the day.
7:30, what?
Interesting.
Now, around 9 there, he gets out of his body. Just like the prophetess has said.
Mm.
So he says, now, the story I'm telling you is a story he told when he came back to the fellowship to give an account of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Homeboy gets out of his body and looks around and says, let me see how far I can go.
Mm.
So he goes outside his house and begins to walk. And as he's walking farther and farther away from home, he encounters a witch.
Okay.
Now,
we're now in another world.
Number one.
Okay.
Homeboy encounters a witch. I was like, when I heard this story, I said, "Man, why didn't he encounter angels? I mean,
your first experience. Come on,
it had to be a witch."
Anyway, so homeboy encounters a witch, and the witch sees him, and they fight, like attacks him with the intention of killing him. And he fought to the point where his spirit now came back to his body. And the fight was so heavy that he had wounds all over his mouth. While he was giving that testimony, the wounds were evident.
Sure.
Everyone could see them.
Uh-huh.
Because the week before, he did not have them.
Yes. Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going back out there. You understand? Now, this is my thing. It's not the issue, is it? Some things you need to go into them with knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah? There's a way to protect yourself. There's a way to battle. Trust me, those witches, wherever in the spirit, don't go around attacking.
Anyhow, randomly.
Anyone.
Yeah.
One time, one man of God messed me up and told me that he was shocked when he had an out-of-body experience. He walked through Kampala, and you'd think that people would be few. That there were many spirits walking around. He said, all these people can get out of their bodies. Watch out.
Wow.
I didn't expect this thing to go this direction.
Wow. He's nice.
Because the topic is dreams, the nightmares and encounters of the night, and we're touching the encounters of the night, which don't necessarily have to be dreams, but I want us to touch even within the confines of those three areas. What do you think God's intention is when it comes to dreams? I want it to be clear. Or dreams or certain encounters. Because the encounters and dreams that come that don't seem to have a direct meaning. And I'm not saying they're not symbolic. Symbolic is different. Where something comes and you're like, now why would I have a dream like that? For example, someone has a dream when they're just in their house sitting. You understand?
Yeah.
Just in their house sitting. Then they wake up. Now, of course, it could mean something. And sometimes you're like, or this is a better example. Someone has a dream about Trump giving a speech. And then Trump gives the speech. So, and then what, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? The speech is not special.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I dream about Trump? It has nothing to do with my life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What is the importance of something like that?
No. One thing I will tell a child of God about dreams is this. Dreams, God can, one, it can be a prophecy in a dream. It can be a word of knowledge. God just telling you, my dear, I know you. You know, it can be an instruction. God can be teaching you something in a dream. You can receive an impartation in a dream. That's one right. thing children should a child of God should understand. And then they should understand as well that, as I said, it's one thing to dream. It's another thing to remember the dream, to get the meaning of the dream. So, as I said, beyond just waking up and moving out, it's important they give time to the dreams God gives them, because God doesn't do anything just for just. Every dream has a purpose. It may have been a prophecy. It may be a word of knowledge. It may be an instruction. But either way, God is telling you something.
Do soulish dreams have a purpose?
I don't. As a spiritual man, I don't think so.
What do you think?
Do they have a purpose? Not entirely like the level of the
spiritual.
The level of the spiritual dreams, but the soulish dreams do play a role, because you're able to, you see, if you focus on those soulish dreams, you can be able to, how can I say it? Let's just say that you have something that you're dealing with, right? And then you can easily decide to, okay, a good example is, I still go back to the envisioning part that Rabbi keeps talking about, right? You see, the thing about envisioning is that when you're envisioning, you have to put your whole self there. You have to put your soul has to be engaged, right? You have to be fully engaged in it. And the thing about soulish dreams is that they come from the soul, right? So the thing about the soulish dream is that it can aid you in envisioning. And that's actually very, very powerful. More than just someone who's struggling trying to envision something. You get it? So not only that, it will be able to show you that your soul is actually really important. So you need to guard against certain things that you can get into your soul and create a certain atmosphere which is not good for you.
You know, there's certain dreams that people don't know actually fall within the category, because someone out there will be talking, what is a soulish dream? And we try to explain. But there are dreams that you can have whose purpose is to tell you your current state, the current state of your soul. So, for example, a person can have a dream when they are crying, constantly crying. And it does not have to be a spiritual dream.
Yep.
And that dream is revealing to that person the current state of their soul.
Mm-hmm.
A person could be sorrowful.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Because you see, the thing is that the true you
is expressed exactly
in the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very powerful.
Yeah.
Environments play a vital role in what we experience in the night.
Yeah.
You know, just like dogs can smell, leave alone fear, they can. Everyone has a different scent.
Yeah.
Hmm? So it can differentiate scents. Even if you disappeared for 100 years and came back, that dog was still alive, it would know it's you. We don't know that our souls release scents.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that if you go to sleep at night and sleep worried about something and go away, and someone comes and sleeps in your bed, they would possibly dream your situation. Sometimes you don't even have to be on their bed, you just have to be in the same room as that person, and you find yourself. I remember one time my brother told me something, and I was slow to interpret to him because I didn't want to mess him up, but he was telling me, so he's sleeping in a room and he starts seeing himself fighting with a woman. Fighting. So he wakes up, he's like, now what is the purpose? What is this? But the person he was sleeping with in the room, a married guy, had been beating his wife. So he's picking up that. So because it has contaminated
his environment.
You see? So not all dreams are directly from us. The environment.
True.
Yes?
Yeah, sure.
You guys, and I don't know that.
And that's why it's very, very important for you to know the level of your spirit man, the strength of your spirit man, because otherwise other people's vibrations can influence yours. And like we've said, in the night when you're sleeping, that's when your body is the weakest, and it's supposed to be when your spirit man is the strongest. But if it's not, then that easily happens. That if you find the other guy, probably by the time he went to sleep, that was what was on his mind. You know, he must have been thinking about the fight or something like that. And he went in with that amount of energy. It was so powerful that at the end of the day, this innocent mind is picking up on that. And it's going to affect how he's thinking or the dream that he has.
But the question then is, what does a person do? What do they do to avoid something like that? Okay, of course, the obvious one would be don't go sharing rooms. But if you stay in your parents' house and you have siblings, you're going to share a room anyway. So what does a person do?
Other than telling the person, grow your spirit, man. But as I said, the way your thoughts are on your mind, what you dwell on every single time, what you think about every single time. If you're thinking about a car every single time, it's very possible that's what you're going to get in your dream. But the way you perceive dreams, one. But other than that, the way you think.
So you're saying, even if my brother is in the room, and his energy is so strong based on the things that he's going on, he's been doing during the day, and I'm in the same room, if I've mastered how I think, it will insulate me from that experience. You think so?
I don't think it's really the energy from the soul. I think it's the spirit man's parts. It's something spiritual. You need to have a spiritual hedge. It's not going to be about the soul. It's now about the spirit. If you don't have a hedge, it's just like you having a garden and you don't have a fence. The enemy will just come in.
And we'll never get it. So how do we put up that hedge again for the person who needs to?
One of the things that you already mentioned, you know, if you're a Christian, you need to practice speaking in tongues, because it's one of the ways that you edify your spirit man, you know, and you edify your soul. So you need to learn, because just that, one, you can speak in tongues. Two, you can, if you don't want to do tongues, do worship. you know, sing worship songs, play worship music, and stuff like that. Okay, all of those things will help to insulate your environment. That at the end of the day, even when something would want to come and penetrate, the power that they find around, the vibrations that they find are so strong that they can't penetrate, you know?
And that's before you come to Calvin, because that's exactly it. You see, the thing is that if someone, we all know that if something negative has been happening in a room of any kind and you enter, you will feel it.
Mm-hmm.
If people have been talking things about you, you feel it because words are energy.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, you could be in a house and you don't know what your neighbor is doing in the opposite house.
Mm.
And what they do can spill over.
Correct.
Into your house.
Correct.
So you need to guard your environment, especially the environment where you sleep.
Mm.
How do you do that? You've mentioned it. You have to provide a way or an avenue for something to speak to that environment,
mm.
to change the atmosphere. Either play a sermon,
mm.
play worship music, or speak to the atmosphere yourself. And I always tell people, if you've been having bad dreams a lot, there's something wrong with your atmosphere. It's not necessarily you.
True.
Play some music. Maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes, then come back and sleep. There ain't no way, no demon is going to pass through all those words that were spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. And then come into your mind. That's not, it's not possible.
Yep.
You guys have got something to add. You see, there's that energy that we call it positive, but it's, may call it scriptural energy, because that's more powerful than
positive vibes.
than positive vibes. Mm. So the things that seem to be that affect the atmospheres play a very big role in the encounters that we have. It is possible that a person, the spirit, can still be weak, eh? But because they've learned how to insulate the environment, sleep paralysis doesn't take place.
Mm-hmm.
Even with their weak spirit. Because where is that demon going to pass?
Exactly. Because in this case, it's about the environment. The environment. You understand? You're the one in the middle. So it matters what is protecting you.
The atmosphere.
You understand? So if you don't have, this is what we're saying, if you don't have a fence around you, you're open. You're true. Out there. You're in open field.
Mm.
So what he's saying is just put a hedge. That is enough for starters. For starters. You understand?
Yeah, true.
Because if you find... let's say if you find someone who has learned the art, okay, the spiritual art of being able to hack your dream, they can plant something in there.
Oh, yeah.
If they know how to bypass, at some point, you are going to be dead asleep, literally. So all I'll just do is, and this I did practically, I got this image of the person whose mind I wanted to influence, that the next day when we would meet, you tell me what I wanted to hear. I told you this. I got the picture, put it like that, put my hands on it, prayed over it, and started to envision. And I spoke to this person. And the next day, that's how it rolled out.
Interesting.
And this is what we're saying. At the end of the day, now, if for you on the other end, you're not being this attentive, don't kid yourself that other people are not being as inattentive as you. That's why the onus is on you to be alert and to understand that, look, I need to protect myself here. You understand? There are certain things that at the end of the day, even as you're building your spirit, man, other people cannot do that for you. We thank God for grace, because then when you're under an anointing, it can help you. But as a Christian, just to rely on another anointing to be the one to sort out your things, or to be the one to cover you, that's really not growth, you know. Everybody has a call. Everyone has a purpose. So for you to come to the fulfillment of your call or your purpose, you need to teach yourself to grow. You need to ask the Spirit to teach you. You need to take it upon yourself and not just rely on, because there is a grace, now I can just sit down and sleep and that's it, because Rabbi is there. You understand? I don't think you'll get the most out of it if you do that.
Okay. We're coming to the last minutes. We have about, 10 minutes or so. How do we interpret dreams? Yeah. Because we know we have dreams that are in allegory. If someone came to you and said, I want to learn how to interpret dreams, what would you say? And I pray it's not get a dream book.
Okay. I think I'll just say this before. The prophet can say something because I know he will pick it. But for me, I think I've learned how to, you know, ask the Spirit to give me interpretation of certain things. When I don't understand something, I'll always ask. And for me, it would come in a thought pattern. You understand?
Okay.
I'll tell you, for example, there was a time I was dreaming. I had lions at my place. Now, they were not fierce. Let's not go there. They were in a sort of cage, and they were calm. And I was feeding them. I was feeding them meat. You know, and it felt like a really peaceful environment. I got out of that dream. It was so vivid. And I asked the Spirit of God what the meaning of that was. And for me, it was very clear. There is a teaching unction. And the caliber of men that you deal with are kings. You understand?
Yes, so, sir.
And that I picked from the Spirit. And even when I saw that, I said, okay. Then I went to my brother, who also has the apostolic gift on him and the teaching. And I told him, this is the dream I had. This is how I asked the Spirit. And this was the interpretation I got. And he told me, yeah, you're right. And for me, that was confirmation. I was like, okay.
Nice.
Good.
Nice. Yeah. So the first element of interpreting any dream is to ask the Spirit of God. I pray people do that. Is there any other element? I want us to touch it. To touch it. I don't want to do all the talking.
Okay. I just list down two things. Things that I practice. After dreaming, the first thing I have to do is to write it down.
Okay. So that's a skill.
Yeah.
Okay.
After writing it down, I begin to dwell on it. Of course, yes. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me with the interpretation. But I could dwell on it. I start to think about it. I start, you know, not just thinking of a thought or something like that, but go back into that place where I was, you know, the full experience, what I felt, what I had, what I tested, everything. I continue to dwell on it. And then eventually things begin to like flow one by one. This means this, or this means that. You get it. For example, I had a dream, and I had a dream about a certain lady. This wasn't actually one dream. I think there are two dreams actually, and in these two dreams, I saw this lady starting up a business and then go all the way, and then in the second dream, it was just a continuation. So she started putting up branches and all that, to the point that she was even listed on the stock exchange, and so. When I actually sat down and thought about this thing, then immediately ask her. So I asked this lady, because I did not know her. I only knew her sister, who I studied with, an OG. So I asked her, hey, excuse me, do you have any intention of doing something like business? And she said, no, I want to do this. Totally different things. And then I asked her, have you actually done a cafe shop, something like that, a cafe business? And she was like, yeah, I started it. And I asked her, was it in Mukono? She was like, yes, it was in Mukono. I started it, but then it's like it collapsed. And then he said, oh, really? Interesting. Because I saw you begin that business. It boomed. You opened up branches to the point that you even went to the stock exchange. Now, the other thing about dwelling is that in that dream, at the end of the dream, when I saw her listed in the stock exchange, I felt a certain pain, an ache. Yeah? Like I was so much concerned about the business that I really wanted to be involved. And so I told her, you know what? I think you should do this business, because that pain was just more than a pain to me. Because if she just goes on with her life like that without getting involved in that kind of business, I think that's a destiny missed. Yeah. So dwell on it, you know, get those feelings in.
So you're saying is that feelings are very important when it comes to dream, to what you've dreamt, especially interpreting dreams. Yeah. How you felt in the dream,
yes,
is key to interpreting a dream.
Yeah.
Okay. And anything else?
Of course, I will tell a child of God, one, it's good to honor your dreams, because if you're able to honor your dreams, then it's possible for God to give you the understanding or the skill to understand it. And one of the ways of honoring your dream is by writing it down, noting it. You know, so beyond just honoring and noting it down, I tell people, many people, it's important you learn how you and the Spirit communicate. the voice you hear. Because if you're able to do that, when you have a dream in the morning, you ask the spirit for the meaning. It's not going to be so hard of you fast have to fast for another 1 week. No. It's going to be, I've written that dream down. All I have to do is dwell upon it, go through it, and eventually how me and the spirit communicate, he is going to give me the meaning in our usual way. I'll tell you, for example, now that I've grown in it, how the Father Lord has brought me, it doesn't take me so long to interpret a dream. I'll just wake up. I don't even need to leave my bed. I'll get the meaning. But I realized a lot of it came because I honored the dreams and because I learned to hear the voice of the spirit, how me and the spirit communicate. So it's easy for me to pick and understand. Many times it just come like a thought, man. During the day, you're like, oh, this dream. Ah, this is actually what it means. And then other thing, Christians should stop complicating dreams. A lady came to me 2 days ago. The dream was, in her dream, she had shifted into a new house. And then I told her, you don't need to, you have been desiring to move into a new house. Now what should I interpret? So certain things are honestly so direct. Don't use logic.
Don't try to be deep.
Hey.
Okay. I have to say something that I think is extremely important. There's a lot about what we dream. Actually, when it comes to spiritual dreams, a lot of it is linked to how much of yourself you know. In other words, dreams are linked to identity. And I'll give you an example in scripture.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar knew that he was a king. He knows it because we know. How do we know he knows it? Because in scripture, he goes over his kingdom and sees how great it is. And he feels pride about it. So he knows he's a king, and not just a king, a great one.
Yes.
He goes to sleep, and the dream that he gets is linked to what he knows about himself. If a person thinks they are broke, they can't have a dream of that magnitude, because what they know about themselves is very highly linked. And let me tell you, and I'm talking about identity here, because what happens is, it's possible for God to give you a dream that you're a king when you don't know that about yourself. That's very possible. Those are what I call awakening dreams. It's trying to tell you, man, wake up. This is you. It's a different thing when dreams of destiny are linked directly to how much of yourself you know. Okay? So, Nebuchadnezzar has that dream. He goes to sleep wondering about the nations that will come after him. And he has a dream at that level, national. He sees a statue, head of gold, that's him. Then the rest. I tell someone that it's possible for you to be broke and have exactly the same dream Nebuchadnezzar had. Because you might be broke physically, but inside you know who you are.
Yeah.
And so your dream takes that shape.
Yes.
Okay? Now, that having been said, there are dreams prophets have. There are dreams apostles have. There are dreams intercessors have. Their dreams businessmen have. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, that's a dream a king has. And even if you're broke, if inside you're a king, you will have the same.
Yes,
and that's why I'm telling you, dreams are linked highly to identity. Well, I'll give you an example of how one time, recently, actually the day before yesterday, so someone comes to me, says, Rabbi, I had a dream. And in that dream, I was in a car. I got out to go and do something, came back, and the car is gone. And I've been dreaming the same dream over and over. Now, this is why it's important, because you can't just, there are dreams you can't just hear and interpret, because who is dreaming is important. You understand? Because if I just left it here, you'd all come with different interpretations.
Yeah.
And you'd probably be right. But who is dreaming is missing. So this lady, this particular lady, she's involved in a business. And when she told me the dream, instantly I told her, the car is your ministry, the ministry that you're doing. When you go out to do other things, you come back, you don't think that what you've done is ministry. And she said, that's exactly it. I keep on thinking that I'm not serving God. But
nice.
The person determines the interpretation of the dream. Extremely important. That's why A cow to an Indian
is that?
It's different.
Okay, that's
different to a cow, yeah. A Ugandan. Because to him, he might be dreaming of God.
Yeah.
I saw a cow come before me. For you, it could be breakfast.
So you can have the same kind of dreams, but for different people, the interpretation is different.
Totally different.
And that's why your book of dreams is useless.
Exactly. That's my point. So who is dreaming is important.
Yeah.
Where you're dreaming.
Jacob.
Is important.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
Okay. The timing of dreams is important. All these help in interpretation, by the way. The timing is important because there are dreams that are seasonal in nature. They disappear after some time and then come back in a particular season. And if you don't track those seasons, you won't know what God is saying. You actually miss out on a lot of instruction. There are dreams that come to tell you that this is the season for it. I'll give you an example. I often tell ladies that in every lady, yes, there are some ladies who they want to get married. They're single. They reach a certain stage. But in just like in the Bible, Adam was fast asleep, woke up and saw his woman there. There's an element linked to sleeping and finding partner, which I'll talk about that another day. For another day. Now, what happened was, I was explaining to this lady that when there are times a lady will feel like she wants to get married, but there are times she'll feel like the desire is not as strong as it was because there are seasons. And this is very important. And those seasons are linked to timings of a partner in the vicinity.
God is gracious. Because someone can miss it once. And he brings it again. And probably this time around it's someone different. But who still fits.
Yes.
Nice.
And this is what's important. It's one way, which I'll talk about it on how to find partners and all that stuff. Some other time. But ideally, so you find that you're dreaming marriage in a specific period, then it just disappears. Then it comes back again. Sometimes it can be sporadic, sometimes it's the same time period. Now what that means, because God doesn't do things, like for example, ladies just are not supposed to be making the first move. Okay? So the aim of her having such a dream is for her to position herself. More than in any season, the season when you're graced, when the season has come, that's the best time to position yourself. The sons of Issachar knew the times and they knew what they ought to do. So when that season comes, your partner is not far, just like Adam was not far from Eve. You get me?
Yes.
Now, the problem with some people, unfortunately, is that Adam can be fast asleep. You get
just
I don't know if you guys have something before we wind up.
Yes.
Adam can be fast asleep and she's sitting there and she's like, where is he? And this is why often I tell people that even though scripture says he has prepared for each a suitable mate, none shall lack his mate, actually. That's what it says. You can, when a season comes, there are not many partners. God doesn't confuse. There is one partner in a season. You can say no to that partner. That partner can fail to even realize you. You can fail to realize each other. And the season fades. And a new season comes. Now, it can either come by his grace with the same partner or a whole new different one. Are you getting me? And dreams play a very vital role in revealing seasons. That's why you have to be very, very careful. Sometimes the dreams that a businessman has, especially if they're into gold, finances, or whatever, they will constantly be dreaming about money. Because their identity as a businessman is linked to that. But you don't always dream about money. One day just comes, man, I dreamt about money. It's a special season. And if you knew what to do in a season, you would reap a million times over.
The power of dreams, man.
You guys can add on before we close. If you can add on before we come to a close. We're coming to a close.
I just want to ask one question because yeah. I like the flow you're going with. Mm. So let's stick with that one for now. False dreams.
Yes.
Are there false dreams? Can people have false dreams?
Can we read the scripture? Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Let's read it.
Let's check for that.
Quick. So you understand that there's the dreams that are seasonal, and the fact that they're seasonal can play a very big role on interpreting them. Also, because certain dreams have seasons, you can't interpret them before their season. That's very, very important. Yeah. That's why you look, and the thing is sealed.
No, I have a question.
Yes.
So if dreams are seasonal, okay, you have dreams that are seasonal, then is it possible for you to also have dreams that are seasonal but national?
Jeremiah?
For example, there was a time...
14.
Yeah. There was a time when, I think it was last year, I think by the end of last year, the preaching and everywhere it was all focused on Christ is coming.
Mm.
Right? And so, if I happen to have a dream before actually that setup began, what is my role there? Do I need to prepare, or is there something that I'm supposed to do?
And those are the dreams that I was talking about, where someone says, "Now, what is my role in all the dreams?" It depends on the person and who it comes to. This is very important. That's why that question cannot be general. I can't answer it generally. If an intercessor has a dream like that, their call is to intercede.
Mm. Yeah. Sure.
You understand it?
Yes.
If a person who is a man of God has a dream like that, maybe you're they right. have a role to preach that message in that season.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yep.
In the same way, if someone is just a congregant, then the specific identity
it
will help determine what they're supposed to do in that place. So if someone is a businessman or a financier, the more you're supposed to give.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you get
it.
And I'm giving really just interpretations. That's why some answers cannot be general.
True. Because in that case, if you're a politician, then you also know how to prepare.
Prepare yourself.
Yeah.
That's why identity is the key aspect to interpreting a dream.
Mm.
Yes.
Nice. Jeremiah 14:14 says, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them. Neither spake unto them, they prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart."
There are other versions that say false visions and dreams. Some say false visions and divination. Some just say false dreams.
Mm.
So it's they interchange the words. Eh? There's such a thing as a false dream, where the enemy can give you something, and if you don't discern, you can think it is from God.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a dream, or it can be a vision. I've told you, if you've seen the story before in the book of, is it Micah? No. It was Kings, where a prophet called Malachi, he was arrested, and the king wanted him to prophesy, and he said, "You'd always prophesy bad things."
Mm.
Then he says, "I saw in the spirit, the Lord had set up a council and said, who shall send a lying spirit?
Yes, yes.
Who shall go as a lying spirit into the mouth of the king?" Okay? Now, I want you to understand that before the prophet Malachi came to give that example of the experience he had seen, the other prophets had given a good report. And I want you to understand that they were genuine prophets.
Mm.
They were not false prophets. They were genuine prophets who had false visions.
Mm.
And this is very important to understand. And the difference with Malachi is that he was able
to see the origin of their...
of something. Yeah. And not everyone can see the origin of a vision.
Yes.
Not everyone can see it. So, in this case, these guys, imagine genuine men of God. See falsely, and this is true, it happens a lot all over the world. You can look at a genuine man of God and think he's false.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And the lens through which you're seeing is foggy, but you know it not. And a lying spirit has been sent to you. Yes, you, a man or a child of God, deep as pray as you are.
Oh, nice.
Very scary. How do we know this? I can back it up further with the fact that when the devil came to Jesus, he showed him a vision. So the enemy can give you a vision. And in the same way, he can give you a dream. Remember one time in fellowship, I gave an example of of a lady who was sleeping with a prophetess in the same room.
Yes.
And then this lady, in the middle of the night, was shouting. She had had a nightmare, and her dad was going to be in an accident. And when the prophetess woke up, she saw a demon on top of
the lady.
Of the lady, projecting the dream on her mind.
Mm.
Okay? And if you do not imagine, one person, if she was with another person in that room, they would wake up and say, "You're having a bad dream, wake up."
Mm.
A prophetess wakes up and sees the demon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to understand. Mm-hmm. And instantly can tell you, this is a false dream.
Mm.
No, me, my thing is, what on earth is a demon doing on top of a child of God projecting? Yayitawa.
Yeah.
And she asked that question, and I liked the answer. So she asked, and the demon was leaving, the demon said, because she asked the question, "How did you get into my house? It's surrounded by
a prophetess."
Mm,
yeah.
Surrounded by angels of God. And the demon said, "Sometimes we don't come from outside. We come from inside." I said, "How?" When a person has been thinking about or worrying about something constantly, they go to sleep with it. It becomes a portal through which a demon can. And that's one way false dreams come, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We're entering deep things.
Yeah, man. Oh, and that's why we were saying earlier on, it's important what you feed your spirit man with, whether intentionally or unintentionally. You know, the kind of music, the association, you know, whatever you feed your eyes and things like that, you can unknowingly be opening portals. That at the end of the day, it will come from within, not from outside.
And that's it. So I think it's if you ever want to guard yourself against things that are you have no control over, the Bible says whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are holy, trustworthy, so on and so forth, meditate upon these things. Because meditation kind of secures the mind from certain things being projected. I also want to say, I said it in a previous session we had, but I'll say it here because the topic is dreams and encounters. It is very possible for you to have, there's a difference between a prophetic dream. There's a difference between a prophetic dream and a spiritual dream. The element of a prophetic dream is to reveal secrets. You see, I can have a spiritual dream and I see myself 2 years from now, I'm going to be president, and it plays out. Huh? There's that element. There's the actual element of a prophetic dream that 2 years from now, I'm not only president, I begin to see secret things of people around me. The purpose of a prophetic dream is to reveal secrets. Because if I see myself president 2 years from now, and maybe in my heart I felt I'm going to be president, this is just a confirmation. It is not a dream revealing a secret.
Yes, true. Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Those dreams are the dreams the devil fears the most. The dreams the devil fears. Even when you go to sleep and you find yourself taking a walk through places and so on and so forth, that lucid dream experience.
Yes.
You can find out secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a lucid dream prophetic.
Nice.
So, like, example, a man of God once said, I went to Makere, the prophet obviously said, went to Makere and wanted to change his marks or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you end up seeing something in there that originally you are not supposed to be able
to see.
That's different from just a normal spiritual dream where things are playing out without no knowledge. But someone goes and finds a secret. Yay! No man can hide anything from you. No man. And I want us to get close to that, because the Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. And that dream, I mean, that scripture can apply to the dream world.
Yes.
In such an extent, because we talk about false visions, tares that the enemy sows are those false dreams and false visions.
Yeah. And just as you're still on that one of false visions and false dreams, I think it's also important for Christians to understand that you need the spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment, okay, of spirits, even when you're in that kind of dream state. Because we shared earlier on an example from the man of God, Prophet Elvis's book, okay, Testing the Powers of the Age to Come, where he said at some point I had a vision and it seemed like as though there were these beings that stepped out of the clouds. And one looked like Moses and one looked like, you know, Elijah. And then they started to speak to him to give him instructions. But because his spirit man was so alert and was so grown, he was able to tell that, no, false spirit. That's a wrong spirit, you know. And then immediately, once they realized that he had noticed that, of course, now they showed their true version. Because the Bible also says he disguises as an angel of light.
Yeah.
And you know the most dangerous way in which false dreams and visions can come up?
Mm.
The most dangerous way is when you have a preconceived idea.
Mm. You determine the answer already.
Yeah. So if you look at a person and you don't like them, there's no way you're going to have a good dream. Actually, the chances of you having a good dream about them are very slim because they're preconceived ideas. Mm. I've had people come to me saying this certain man of God is false, because they were around people who were telling them the guy is false. Mm. It's one thing if you're far.
Mm.
You're not connected to anything and you have a dream that a guy is false.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It's not manipulated by. That's, by the way, it's the easiest way to be deceived. The devil sows tares by allowing you to have a preconceived idea.
Mm.
And we go to sleep at night, it just continues from there. Those are the most powerful, soulish dreams, and that's how people are lied to.
Because then someone can easily come out and say, no, I actually had a dream and I saw him in the dream and he was this and
no,
that.
No, no, no,
and it's all false.
Because the Bible says God establishes in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You cannot make a conclusion just on a dream.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, true.
Because if it's from God, it will have its signs. Mm.
Yes.
Not so?
Yep.
For example, do you have any examples? Quick, before we close.
Okay, just to dwell on the three witnesses and all that. Beyond just even the dream, let's use the same for false man of God or something like that. Beyond just even a dream, let's say two or three other people must have had something like that. But other than that, you must have, beyond just a dream, another kind of witness that can either be through the spirit of another man or through one way or the other. But you just cannot rely alone on your dream. But other than that, I want to dwell alone on the prophetic dreams as well. Just to touch on that as well. I realize it's important, before that, many people miss out on what the Lord is doing and what the Lord has for them. Because they think, I cannot have a prophetic dream. I'm not a prophet. So God shows you something. Let's say your mother, something's going to happen to somebody. So God shows you this dream. You disregard it because you feel, no, I cannot have. It's not for me. It's only for the prophet. You know, so I think it's also important, children of God, stop underlooking themselves. I know that I'm a child of God, these things are for me, and take every word of the Lord, especially in the prophetic dreams, very, very serious, because the Lord is passing on information. And for the fact that he assured you, then meaning you have a power to change it either through prayer or one way or the other, you know. So it's important, children of God, take serious the dreams they have as well, especially the prophetic.
Yeah, that's it. Any final words before we close?
I wanted to dwell on the signs. For the dreams I've had, there's actually been like a sign whereby someone like says or does something that is actually connected to what like I saw in a dream. But maybe the other sign is whereby the prophet, a prophetess or someone like that, can actually pick out and tell, this is actually happening to you, but yet you realize, oh, I actually had a dream about that. So this is what it actually means. So that's what I can say.
So the witnesses in the natural,
yeah,
that assure you that your dream is of God or not. We could have gone into many things. And also we want to point out that not God can send you a nightmare.
True.
And so people can't do that.
You just had to keep that from
there. I had to put it there. Jeremiah 33 says, God speaks once, twice, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men. He opens their ears, seals their instruction. And then it says to keep a man from going down to the pit. Okay? So he frightens them so that he can deter him from his own purpose. God can send you a nightmare, and it is of God. So not all nightmares,
very important. Yeah.
But also very, the way you feel, the fear of God in a nightmare is different from the fear
of the
devil. Yeah. But both of them are different kinds of fears. You know, some things I had to explain. It's like trying to tell you, you describe the taste of an apple.
Or the taste of water.
Or if someone has never seen the color blue, describe it to them.
Interesting, you can't really.
You can't. You know. So in the same way, I can't tell you some things that I had to articulate because they're spiritual experiences. But we've done our best to have a discussion. Calvin Tinker, thank you so much. The master of dreams. Okay. Prophet Ben Ali, thank you so much. We're going to put up some of your experiences even as we go through the rest of the podcast. People will see some of your...
But you know, just one more thing. You know, not every dream is supposed to be shared.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's anyway.
Yes. Actually, we'll leave you with that. Yeah,
that's homework.
God can give you nightmares and not every dream.
He's supposed to.
That's right. The story of Joseph. Joseph shared a dream and it caused him trouble.
Yeah.
Don't go sharing every dream.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prophet Ben Ali. Afimani Maki.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we see you next time. God bless you.